World fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Sorry you caught me chomping on my gum here this morning. You know, I was this part two from yesterday. I don't think we've ever done a part two before. We're going to have a part two today. And I just want to, we're going to talk about besetting sins. We're going to talk about our carnal nature. We're going to talk about a lot of things here today. I love coming in here because the ideas that we bounce back and forth here are really, really pretty amazing. I'm chewing gum today because I'm now 24... I'm about 36 hours into a fast, total complete water fast. That's why I got the chewing gum in there. And you know, we used to regularly talk about fasting here at Coach Dave Live. We haven't really done that in a while. And I would encourage you, some of you out there, if you really want to get victory over sin, victory over your carnal nature, carnal man, fasting is a great way to do it. You say, Coach, I've never fasted before. I just can't give up meals. Well, yeah, you can. What do you mean you can't? Sure you can. You've just never trained yourself to be able to do it. And I learned that a long time ago. I've pretty much, I'm bragging, okay, not patting myself on the back. I've kind of, for the last 15 years, probably 15, I've kind of lived a lifestyle of occasional fasting. A lot of great, great physical reasons why you would fast. After 3 days, your entire immune system resets. That's not why I do it. But the two greatest things man ever faces is the desire to eat and the desire to have sex. Those are man's two greatest desires. And if we think that we can learn to control our carnal man, which again we'll talk about here in a bit, without training the carnal man, without bringing his pulse and bringing it into submission, then we're greatly deceived. The carnal man, you're always, well, okay. Lord, you keep pulling that word up there. Hang, we'll get to it here in a second, right? I'm going to tell you this. If you cannot control yourself to not eat a meal, you're very weak spiritually. Very, very weak. Because if you're a born-again believer, your natural man is in submission to your spirit man. But if we don't understand the dichotomy or the relationship between the spirit man and natural man, we're never gonna figure this out. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death, Paul said? The natural man, or as Stephanie would say, the meat suit, the guy in the meat suit. So I'm buffering my body through the idea of I'm not going to eat, and I'm on a fast. Some of you could join me even right now today. You could maybe you've had breakfast this morning. Maybe you've done that. Some of you've never fasted before. Say, yo, all right, here it is. I'm not going to eat lunch. It's what time is it? 7 o'clock. You've eaten. Maybe you haven't eaten. Doesn't matter. But you could say right now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to eat again until 5 o'clock. If you just started. Make a goal and achieve the goal. Because whether we realize this or not, this is what working out your own salvation with fear and trembling is. You have to learn to buffer your body. If you didn't have any food, you would survive till 5 o'clock. But because you have food in the refrigerator and food in your cupboard, you think you have to eat. You don't have to eat. You're not going to starve. You're not going to die, but you're going to begin the submission of making your body submit to the will of your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Going to get into that a little bit here today. And I just told Michelle as I came down the steps, I don't know the last time I went what did I say? 24, 30. Last time I went 36 hours without throwing a piece of candy in my mouth. Anybody? In fact, I kind of chastised Michelle the other day. So you put that candy right out there in front of me. And the grandkids come running down the hill, and the first thing they ask for when they come into the house is, can I have a grampy pill? Because a grampy pill is a piece of candy. So as soon as they walk in the door, they ask for a piece of candy. Where's the piece of candy? Well, it's right there on the table. I walk by it 100 times a day, right? So Michelle was kind enough to move that candy. So I got on sugarless gum today. Now, I had a bite of sugar in 36 hours. Why? Because I'm strengthening my inner man. I want to talk a little bit about that today and a lot of other things. Let me look over here real quick. How about this, man? Mike Blake. You guys say, Coach, you talk a lot about Mike Blake. I love Mike Blake. Is it okay if I talk about him? I love Mike Blake. Mike got out of the hospital, spoke to him yesterday. Folks, what he went through is unbelievable. I'll give you just a real quick over. He told me yesterday he can't go back to work for another month. And what they did to him, I know Mike wouldn't mind me sharing this with you. The infection in his lung was so bad that they actually went into his back and split him open like you would fillet a fish. And they had to put two tubes in. They had to work those tubes. And imagine this, you're laying on your back, they cut you open, taking those tubes, and they're working these two tubes in between his ribs. And the doctor told him, he's sorry, it's going to hurt, and there ain't anything you can do about it. So they inserted those two tubes into Mike's ribs, sucked out all that pus from that bacteria he'd had in there. I don't know about you folks, I was praying they didn't pull the COVID thing on Mike and put him on a ventilator. Praise the Lord, they didn't. And they sent him home yesterday, or maybe a day and a half ago. He got to go home, and at least a month before he gets to go back to work. But he's back on his feet. Praise the Lord. Continue encouraging, because, as you know, man, the rehabilitation from something like that is pretty involved here. What am I looking for here, Coach? Coach, did I send that? Yeah, there it is. Also, man, don't forget about the Russ Dizdar conference coming, Chad's event, of course. But I really want to emphasize the Russ Dizdar event for one reason here, okay? I didn't make this very clear to all of you. The first 100 people who sign up for Russ Dizdar's event here in Ohio get free. It's $100, okay? Russ is bringing in about 15 members of his staff. We have to house them, feed them. We give them a little bit of money for their efforts. That's why we have to charge. But if you get in before one of the first 100, you get Russ's free Expelling the Darkness workbook. It's 400 pages long. You get that free. And you also get free video on demand, meaning when the thing's over, you can go back for 30 days and watch it and download it and do whatever you want to. So I don't want you folks here in the queue, especially because Russ and Tom Dunn are starting to promote it now. I don't want you guys to miss out on those freebies. First 100 people get in. And as I said yesterday, we also have, for about 30 of you, dorm style sleeping, barrack style, not bunk beds, but beds in an open space with bathrooms and a kitchen and everything. We have about 30 of those that for the weekend, $50, $25 a night. So get in there. I've live streaming. It's my fault. We're a little bit behind on that. People tried to sign up for the live streaming. We don't have that icon yet up on our website. We'll get it up there. Okay. Get it up. So bear with me. We'll get that done. I want to share this before I get rolling. Spencer, pull up that Bobby email. I want to encourage you guys. Bobby Lee forwarded me this. I want to encourage you to get these events going locally. How about this? How about going to your pastor, if you know one, and asking them, host one of these events, pastor, host one of these events. Because this, Bobby got this email yesterday from a gentleman who was, he was transfixed. He was there the whole time. I'm not using his name just because I never asked his permission. But here's a response of somebody who came to our event. Mr. Lee, I don't even know where or how to begin to thank you for not only coming to our area and allowing me to be a part of a room so filled with the spirit of those of us in search of growing in the word. Coach Dave, a leader of men that we'd follow anywhere. The testimony of David Arthur was so powerful especially on Saturday because of the time allowed, but I'm still listening again. Wow, powerful. I've listened to many great speakers, but Dr. John Diamond was not only as educated as any I've heard, but challenging to the establishment. When the facts don't put the fear of God in them, he brings God's words into the political motive. I love to hear him speak. Too long would never be enough. I could go on and would miss someone and bring, and it wouldn't be just because there are so many folks that came from afar that did so much to bring God's words to Millersburg, PA, and allow 3/13/2021 and 3/14/2021 to be engraved in our hearts and memories forever. We thank them all. The word that I can't get passed through is not evangelical redneck, but convert, that Coach used on Sunday. It hit, and it hit, has hit hard. I spent the day attempting to understand the changes, and I pray that I can make in my personal life 3/14/2021, a day that I always remember and appreciate. Coach Dave, Michelle, Pastor Salt, Bobby Lee, Brett, Tammy, Pastor Ben, P.A. Huddle, David Arthur, John Diamond, and all who are part and travel to share this special weekend, thank you. Never wanted the weekend to come to an end. Thank you, Bobby. Folks, the information that we bring in these events is just beyond what you can ever. Let me look me in the eye.
Praise God. Amen, Coach. Praise God.
Folks, you're not hearing it in your churches. You're not hearing it in your churches. Sorry. And I was kind of lamenting to Michelle that we have this gift. We have this gift of speakers, guys who are experienced, bottled up, and no opportunity to get it out. So thank you. Thanks for sending us that email. Anybody want to comment on that? Don't have to. Don't say, oh, Coach, you're the greatest thing to ever come to. That's not what I want to hear. I just sometimes sense somebody's got something to say, and let that be the moment. Come in now or forever hold your peace.
Coach, I'm sorry I don't see the raised hand on the screen.
That's all right, bud.
So our pastor, he usually makes rounds of the members of the church, comes over, prays at their house if they have any concerns. And I told him about Past Salt Ministry, which he knows. Mm-hmm. And I told him that he didn't know is that people are starving for the truth and yeah, not seeing it, like you just said, in a church.
Amen.
He just sat there. He was agreeing.
Yes, sir. Joseph, I don't know the solution to it. The show, somebody commented and said, Coach, you need to do a show in the evening, or Coach, you need to do a show on Sunday afternoon or whatever to expand the audience a little bit. I suppose that's true. I don't want to expand the audience. I want to wake people up. I want to wake them up. Yes.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's kind of difficult with no hand to be able to raise.
I don't know why there's no hand today.
I know, brother, because that can be frustrating, because I know you might be in a thought. But this weekend, this is a shell. I invited this weekend. I got over 40 of my neighbors coming to my – I'm not talking about people across town. I'm not talking about people across state lines. Brother, every neighbor's door that I knocked on – I not only invited them to my house, but brother, had conversations with every one of them. And they all have that same motto. Something's going on. We're not sure. I have over 40 people. These are my neighbors right on my street that are coming to my house this Sunday, brother, not only to barbecue, but to talk and to share these thoughts. Because if things go bad, brother, I can't rally 40 people from around the country necessarily, but boy, I tell you what, I can protect the wagons on my block.
Boy, Dale, it's well said, man. Well said. Folks, if you're trying to raise a hand, I don't know why the icon's not working today. So if I'm not calling on, just because I don't see it. So you're welcome to come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, I was encouraged by that email Bobby Lee sent last night. People don't understand. We wrestle with a lot of these things as much as anybody else, and we leave a conference not knowing, what impact we have, and that's the power that people with the gift of encouragement can do. When you sit down and read something like that, then you're making a difference in people's lives. And I just encourage people to share Bobby Lee's videos. I got reached out. I shared with a guy. He started an organization. He's a Filipino, started an organization called Flame, which stands for Filipino, Latin, Asian, and they're organizing a group. I was put in contact with this guy. He's clear out in the Oregon area and works out of Florida also. And I shared Bobby Lee's videos with him. He sent me an email that I just saw 2 minutes ago. It says, "I love the work and the title of your books. We need the message to have a national audience. Let's organize in Pennsylvania at a leadership training summit for conservative youth." So this guy's setting up. And this is what you've talked about, having youth conferences. So, I mean, God's bringing in some other people that already have that heart. And I think you're organizing that on more of a youth level, and then they can just bring us in as speakers. So I'm going to be reaching out to him and sharing your information with him, and hopefully we can put something together nationally.
Awesome, John. That's what we're all about. Hey, listen. Praise the Lord's right. Listen, I want to double back because I've really been impressed upon the Lord, by the Lord. Doesn't that sound so religious, doesn't it? But what is that unction? What is that thing that woke me up at 3:30 last night? Can somebody explain to me what that is? It's an unction. The scripture says you have an unction. And the Holy Spirit gives you an unction. I got an unction. Had one yesterday. I've got the same unction today. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of us, I said us, not you. There's a lot of us that are dealing with besetting sins in our lives that we've become comfortable with. And whether we realize it or not, is draining out of each and every one of us the effectiveness of our ministry. It's hard to recognize a habit. It's hard to recognize a pattern in your own life. But if somebody can help us point it out, if the Holy Spirit can reveal it to us, then we can walk in greater victory than what we're currently walking in. And I think we're coming into a phase in American Christianity. I no doubt in my mind the Lord's doing. See, I'm sorry. I don't think we're about out of here. I think the Lord's getting ready to do something like we've never seen done before. And I believe it also has to do with, however I say it, a reformation, a restructuring of the current church pattern, model. That's what I think is going on. For the most part, we would all have to admit that the church has been absolutely, totally saltless in regards to the impact it's having in the culture and in the society. Most of the great work that's being done is being done outside the church in what they call para-church ministries. I don't even call it that anymore. It's not a para-church. It is the church. It is the church. And that's going to grow and grow and grow and grow. And so some of you who've been listening to this program, been part of this program for over 5 years, some of you 4 years, it doesn't matter when you got in there. You're in here because something going on here is resonating with you. I don't know what makes you get up every morning. It's 88 of us in here this morning. We've got about 20 that slept in, aren't in here this morning. I don't know. I don't know what makes you get up in the morning, but it's an unction. Something's drawing you here. And I believe you're being drawn here because I believe we're doing real spiritual house cleaning here. That's what I think is going on. And I think you're drawn to it. So I want to talk today a little bit with you about our own personal sin, whatever that would be. In fact, I was going to do this. I probably don't have the time. I'm going to give you about 2 minutes to get up and go get yourself a pencil and a piece of paper. Doesn't have to be a notepad. It can just be on the back of a candy bar wrapper. I want you to get something that you can write on, because I want you to be honest with yourself here. And I want you to we're going to kind of do a self-evaluation. Self-evaluation. Because you know, I know, we all know, really, what is that besetting sin that we have? What is it? What is that sin that you struggle with and you wake up the next day and you're mad because besetting sin, we spoke about it yesterday, right? And besetting sin is the one that keeps you really from being all that you can be. So I want to show you something here. Let me get this thing up. Sorry, boys and girls. Go to three types of men. Three types of men, Spencer. A lot of people who are Christians don't understand what I'm going to try to show you here today. And I pray that this becomes real in your own life, all right? There are three types of men that we're dealing with in the world. The first one is what they call the natural man. The natural man is just a guy who's born. If you're born, you are a natural man or woman, natural human. Maybe it would be better to say that. And how do you recognize a natural man? Well, a natural man's born into the human family and lives in his natural state without being a child of God. Scripture references are there. A natural man does not have the Holy Spirit of God in him. He lives his life driven by three human motivators. All right? What are those three human motivators? By the way, I call this guy the carnal man or the carnal nature. What are the three motivators? He doesn't have the Holy Spirit. He's driven by three human motivators: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Pride. He's unable to know, the natural man is unable to know, much less understand the deep things of God. Folks, you run into these kind of people every day. And you can talk and talk and talk and talk until the tongue is ready to fall out of your mind, and they will not receive it. Why? Because the scripture says that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. He cannot. He cannot. It's like a foreign language to him, okay? And unfortunately, in America, we are being governed by carnal men, natural men. Oh, there's some Christians in government. Not many. Not many. Because who are the men who ascribe, or who are the men who strive to be in these places? The men who are after what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Therefore, the natural man, the carnal man, considers spiritually godly things to be foolishness and rejects God and his word, which results in his destruction and rejection by God from having eternal life with God. You understand that, folks? The natural man, that's the condition we are all born into. And most of the people you're going to come in contact in your life, that's them. That's right there. Those are the ones taking the vaccines. Sorry. Sorry. No matter how much I flap my tongue, then they won't pay attention to me. Why? Because they cannot understand the scripture says. They're a natural man. But also inside that natural man is a spiritual man. Now, in most cases, it lays dormant. That spiritual man lays dormant, driven by his carnal nature. But the spiritual man is one that is born again into God's family and lives in a spiritual state. Lives in a spiritual state. Unlike the natural man, he does have the Holy Spirit in him, whom he received at the moment of salvation when he trusted Christ as Savior. He's born again as a child of God by his faith in Christ. He's able to know the deep things of God because the Holy Spirit reveals it to him again. He has a receptor. Now the natural man, now the spiritual man can receive the things, the messages, the words, the thought. Now he can understand spiritual things. Because why? He has the Spirit of God in him. He has a new nature that is not driven by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride. He's not driven by it. Now, wait a minute. He has victory over it for the first time ever in his life. He still will be driven by those things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, because his carnal man is still there. He's still in his meat suit, all right? Because he is born again by trusting Jesus as a Savior, he will be saved from God's wrath to spend an eternity with God. Now, the depth of the development of your spiritual man is a personal journey, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Doing okay? You follow me here? Some of you say, Coach, it's kindergarten stuff. Let me tell you something. This isn't kindergarten stuff for some of the people that are watching. It isn't. And then we have the carnal man, boys and girls. I did the natural man, not the carnal man. This is the battle. For most of us, our battle are not with demons, although we'll get into that. The carnal man, are you ready? He is one that is born again into God's family, but lives and behaves as a man in a natural state. living according to his carnal or fleshly desires. See, this is why the mega churches are flourishing, or were flourishing, is because these men who get born again never crucify the flesh, and as a result, they're drawn to churches who tell them how much stuff they can get. They never kill that carnal man and his desires. So instead of following the leading of the Holy Spirit, the carnal man allows the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life to tempt him, which produces ungodly works, ungodly fruit, and the inability to grow spiritually into spiritual maturity and discernment. Give me a thumbs up. Say, Coach, this is really good. I know it is. This is really good. Do you have any idea how many Christians are right here? This is most Christians, folks. 1 Corinthians, only by immersing himself in the Word of God and putting off the works of the flesh can he abstain from his fleshly lusts and live a life that is pleasing to God and serve as a glorification of God before unbelievers. Sadly, the carnal man often claims he is a Christian, but demonstrates to the world that Christians are no different than anyone else. There's a good thumbs up, amen, mic drop. There it is.
Amen.
So that's what our churches are full of right there, folks. The carnal man. The born again carnal man. Now listen, this is not a debate with me. I'm not even going to argue. It doesn't matter. Are they on their way to heaven? Or are they not on their way to heaven? It's irrelevant to the argument, right? So most of you and most of us, no matter how spiritually strong you are, no matter how spiritually mature you are, most of us are not fighting against demons, boys and girls. We are fighting against the carnal man, our fleshly desires. That's why Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Paul said, "The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do." Why? Because he's got that carnal nature inside him. Now, Jesus said, Paul said, "I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life I now live, I live by the grace of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me." So the receiving of Jesus Christ brings a new life inside of you, but you still have the Holy Spirit inside of you, the Spirit of the living God, but you still have that carnal nature, and the struggle that you have inside of you is which one of those two boys is going to be in control of your behavior. I don't care who you are. When you walk down and you sit on a computer, in front of a computer, and you turn your computer on, and an image of a naked, nearly naked woman pops up. And you guys, you know they pop up everywhere, right? You know, you just log on the computer, and there's a girl in a bikini, there's a girl. And that they're always trying to put before us our eyes, the lust of the eyes. They're always trying to put these carnal things before. Hey, boys and girls, listen to me. I don't care who you are, where you are, how holy you are, how unholy you are. You make a decision whether or not you're going to click on that thing or not. You can't blame the devil on that one, brother. That ain't the devil. That is your carnal man. Now, you have to ask yourself, I'm on a fast today. Would I like to have something to eat right now? No, I really wouldn't. I don't have that urge to eat. But there are times when I walk by Michelle's candy dish that I don't want to reach over and pick one of those things up. But I don't. Why? Because I'm letting my spirit man control my carnal man. My spirit man says, "Coach, are you on a fast or not?" And I say, "Yep." He says, "Okay, now I've given you the power to resist it. Keep walking." And I do. That's a training. You understand that? That's a conditioning. And I don't care what it is, for the most of you who are sitting in here, the 98.5 that are logged on live and the thousands that are listening otherwise, most of the sins you are committing, you aren't doing it because of, there ain't no demon chasing you, boys and girls. You're doing it out of your carnal nature. It's your carnal nature. We have to learn how and train ourselves to say no to that carnal man. Because I'm going to tell you something. I got the most beautiful wife anybody's ever had. And my eyes can still be tempted by the carnal man. Y'all with me? Thumbs up me. Thumbs up me, right?
Amen.
And so we all know that when these good religious men we elect to office, sending them to Washington, D.C., and they really are, well, maybe they're carnal men, but they really are born again, yada, yada, yada. But they've never learned to resist the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. They've never gotten victory over it. And the greatest scripture of all.
They used to call that self-denial.
So call what, self-denial? Well, the greatest.
Yeah, there used to be a common usage in the church was a process of self-denial.
Self-denial. Well, Jesus, or maybe it's Paul, I don't have it, just popped into my head, so I'm going to use it. Paul gave us the greatest defense he ever gave anybody, anywhere, against the carnal nature. Does anybody know? Anybody know what that is? Very, very simple. Run! Run! Flee immorality. Run!
Coach, this might be a good place to insert James 1:13.
Pull it in there, man. I got some scriptures I'm going to pull up. I'm just talking. I'm speaking to you from my heart right now. James 1:13. Let no man. Oh, yes. Thank you, Glenn. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither will God tempt any man. He won't do it. So you can blame demons. You can blame generational curses. You can blame your grandma and grandpa. You can blame whatever you want to for your natural propensities to sin. But I would say to you today that what we call generational curses, or what we do, is nothing more than a propensity towards a particular type of sin that you have never gotten victory over.
Boom.
That's all it is. I can't tell you the number of times when I was teaching school that, you know, I taught unruly kids. I can't tell you the number of times I heard kids say, yeah, I'd say, hey, Tim, you got to learn to control your anger. Not you, Tim. I knew a kid, Tim. Tim, you got to learn to control your anger. And Tim would say, hey, my old man's got a hot temper. My brother's got a hot temper. That's just the way we are. Well, I suppose there's a natural inclination. I suppose there's that generational sin. Suppose it is. But the truth of the matter is, hey, Tim, you better learn to control that temper, or you're going to get your arse in trouble, brother. You got a decision you got to make, and you can't blame the devil. Oh, the spirits may come along and may tempt you into something that makes you angry, makes you respond to it. But when you pull the trigger, you did it, dude, and nobody else did it. So the natural man can't fight this stuff. The carnal man either doesn't know he can or doesn't want to. But I'm talking to you guys. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to us. Sorry, the hands won't go up. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit there for a couple minutes, and I want you to write down on that piece of paper what's holding you back. What are those patterns in life? What are those habits? What, you know what? I confessed to Michelle last night. One of my greatest besetting sins is procrastination. I'll do that tomorrow. And then all of a sudden, I hit Friday, and I got 15 things I didn't do because I was going to do them tomorrow. You guys, can you guys say amen? Can you raise your hand on that? And I can't think of the number of ministry opportunities I might have missed where lives could have really been changed simply because I did not discipline myself against a carnal propensity to sin. I don't want to do it right now. I don't want to do it. We call that spiritual discipline. Are you guys writing them down? Writing them down? Now, I'm not going to have it. Listen, for some of you, some of them, they're going to be maybe what we would consider more radical or deviant or darker than others. But the truth is, all sin is bondage, places you in bondage. Him who the Son sets free is free indeed. And it's time that we stop blaming demons and devils for the destruction of our own carnal nature, our inability to say no to sin. Go ahead, Silver.
The biggest one, in addition to all the other things, like most people know, I'm a smoker, okay? And I've tried to quit two or three times. I'd love to do it, but I always go back to it. And procrastination is a big thing in my life as well. But the biggest thing is laziness. You know, and a non-caring attitude. I've been working on this project for over 2 years. Okay. And I can get on drugs all I want to because of the drug regimen that I'm on. But
yep.
I got to get it done, and I got to get it done quick.
Amen, Joe. So folks, listen, I don't want everybody to have to confess. If you want to, this is not I'm not a priest. This is not a confessional. Okay. The first thing you have to do is you have to recognize yourself what it is that you're dealing with. What is it, Lord? What is that besetting sin? That's, man. So you know what I said? It's kind of crazy. No, it isn't. It's the way we work, right? Sometimes even in our most spiritual moment, we can be carnal. You know what prompted me? I was watching a video of when I was speaking in Pennsylvania. And you know what popped out at me? My belly's hanging over my belt. And I said, Coach, when are you going to get victory over that? When are you going to get victory over that? Well, I'm never going to get victory over that. See, I could say the devil made me do it, or I was born short, or my grandparents were heavy. I could come up with all kinds of reasons why, right? I could do all that. But what it comes down to is, Coach, do you want to have that belly or not? And if you don't want to have that belly, then you're going to have to change something. And so my fast, listen, my fast is not to lose weight. Don't ever go on a fast as a means of losing weight. But my fast is a discipline to get me to stop putting in my mouth everything my carnal heart desires. You guys understand it? And when I begin to do that, then I'm going to discipline myself and I'm going to pick up my exercise. I'm going to watch what I eat. I'm going to watch when I eat. I'm going to watch what I drink and when I drink. And I'm going to begin to have a transformation of my body only because I made a determination that I was going to do it.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
One thing that I've recognized in being what it means to be a man is, and the carnal man and what we're speaking to, is that we may be faced with a hole in the middle of the woods trying to chop down trees, but we don't know how to, then it becomes very discouraging and we just struggle for years for cutting down those trees.
Amen. It is hard, Tim. Listen, I'll let some of you get, I just see a hand in here. Listen, folks, Rome wasn't built in a day, and there are all different ways, one step at a time, right? So that list that you've written down in front of you today, if you really want to get set free of it, look at that thing that you wrote down and say, you know what, Lord, bring this thing to my remembrance every time I see it. Lord, I don't want to do this. Lord, I don't want to procrastinate. Lord, please, Lord, Holy Spirit, alert me when I'm falling back into that trap. Help me get victory over that. But folks, it doesn't mean all of a sudden you wake up tomorrow and you don't procrastinate anymore. It's a constant journey. And your spouse, Michelle, help me not procrastinate. And my wife can say to me, when are you going to do that? And I got all kinds of reasons why I haven't done it. I need to do it. You with me? So in other words, you don't wake up this morning and say, hey, I'm going to lose 100 pounds. Well, that's a great goal. But chances are pretty good you ain't going to reach that one. Pretty good. You may get there, but you may say, you know, I'm going to lose 10 pounds before June 1st. I'm going to lose 10 pounds. And you're going to lose 10 pounds because you've learned to discipline yourself in what you take. And I don't mean to be all over the place, and I'm not meaning to simplify this. Listen, hey, look at me. I know this because the Holy Spirit told me. Some of you guys are really struggling with porn. Now, I don't know if women do or not. The ultimate pride, lust of the flesh and lust of the eye, the ultimate one is pornography. It's the ultimate one. And it's adding nothing to your life. In fact, it is robbing more from you than you will ever know. And it is shameful because you would never invite people into your room and watch you looking at the porn. You would never do that. You would never go tell somebody, hey, come on over to my house and we'll watch some porn. You would never go to your kids. You would never go to your young son and say, hey, David, come on over, sit down, let's watch some porn. You would never do that. So you know that inside you, you know it's wrong, that you can't get away from it. It's a battle, man. But I'm going to tell you this. Clicking on that porn is no different than picking up a piece of candy when I walk by Michelle's pile. Ain't no different. It comes down with a decision. I'm not going to do it. Lord, I need you. My carnal man is so overwhelming me, Lord. I need you. In fact, some of you probably need to tell somebody.
Amen, Coach.
Who can help you and hold you accountable. I'm going to tell you, I don't care who it is. If somebody called me right now and said, that, hey, Coach, I'm struggling with porn, I would not be shocked. It wouldn't shock me. Yeah. I wouldn't say, Dale Socia looking at porn. I wouldn't shock me. Why? Because I understand how that beast is, that carnal man, how powerful that is, that carnal nature. If Dale's struggling with porn, I wish he would tell me and I'd check in with him. Dale, how you doing, man?
Brother,
are you getting victory over it, Dale? Are you getting victory over it?
Hey, Coach, let me take it one step further. This is an issue that was in my life when I was a young kid, even up into my marriage, and not afraid to say it. But I did get help. You know who I talked to? You know, when a person wants to lose weight, when you look at Weight Watchers, you have the accountability buddies. You know who my accountability buddy is, Coach? Not you. My wife. Brother, let me tell you what. It was the freedom of 25 years. But Job 31:1 talks about making a covenant with your eyes. It says, in a translation, I've trained my eyes unto righteousness. You're not going to be a better runner by saying, you know what, I'm going to be a better runner. You're not going to be healthier by saying, oh, I'm not going to eat. No, you have to train your body. That's what Paul said in Corinthians. Right? He trains himself. So when I go back and I say that, we have to train our eyes unto righteousness, right? We train them. And then we have the buddy system. If you are married, let me tell you what, Coach will stand with you, but there's nobody who sticks closer than a brother, not only Jesus, but God has given you a covenant wife who wants to help you break free because she knows her marriage is on the line with this stuff.
Amen.
Amen, Dale. Years for us.
Let me say something to the women out there. Because I've said this to my own wife. I wouldn't say it to somebody else's wife. A man who is looking at pornography, listen, you can love your wife to the ends of the earth and back and still look at pornography. I'm saying to the women, the fact that a man, your husband, is looking at pornography doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Doesn't mean he wants to commit adultery on you. He is being overpowered by his carnal nature. It's just the same, even though it's far more insidious, it's no different than eating too much or drinking too much, cussing too much, working too much. It's failure. It's the carnal man overwhelming the spiritual man. Listen, I'm going to shut up. I've spoken for a long time.
Coach, let me jump back in there. The only reason because, you know, to speak in this with confidence is because you have freedom, and that's where I do. you know, and I say that's one side of it. Women understand this is not about that your husband doesn't love you. He's in bondage. And if this is one of your children, you would help them. This is your husband. He was your husband before they were your children, and you were to help them. Now, here's another thing. It's kind of like you say this. You said, my wife has this candy bowl, right?
Yep.
So your wife, I'm sorry, but your wife needs to take that candy bowl away, right? And not put the temptation in front of you. So women, I'm not saying that women can go, I don't look at this and blah, 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 blah. But if you are manipulating the bedroom, that's part of the problem. Mm-hmm. It's not your body. Your body is not your body. And I've got too many years in counseling with this coach. I see what it does to marriages in the church. I've seen what it's done to the pulpit. People are ashamed. They're afraid to talk about it. But brother, when you're willing to put this thing out there to shame the sin before it shames you, brother, you'll get freedom. So women, you help your husbands through this. And another thing is that you don't withhold from them, because then those men are going to go somewhere else, if that makes sense.
I promise you this, 98% of the men watching this right now struggle with porn. 98%.
Coach, may I say something?
Yes.
I'll tell you, when my wife and I are doing our marriage ministry, I deal with many, many young grooms-to-be or young married couples where the man is struggling with porn. I tell them, number one, they need to get on their knees. They need to beg God to take all of their sexual energy and focus it on their wife.
Amen. Amen.
And then I tell the women, I tell them, sex is a misdemeanor. The more the husband misses, the meaner he gets. If you want a happy mood in your house, you need a happy dude. But men, you can't just treat your wife as a pincushion. You have to respect her. You have to love her. You have to let her know that she is the greatest earthly gift God has given you. So men, amen, husbands, when you raise your wife so high that she has to look down to submit to you, you are doing your job right. Until you get to that point, you are not going to get the cooperation from your wife. And until your wife gets the correct attitude about how God wants her to function as a wife, you're going to have disarray in your marriage. You have to get God-centered. You have to understand God's design for marriage. And I can talk from all the mistakes I made in my life, and I can talk about all the heartache and all the destruction I've seen in my life from other couples. You got to get on your knees. Men, beg God to take your sexual energy and focus it on your wife.
Amen. Now listen, folks, I'm not trying to turn this into a marriage counseling session. No, no offense, Neil. Please don't take that the wrong way. I just know how powerful it is. For some of you, if I could see your sheet, some of you are workaholics, right? Some of you are struggling with, I don't want us to focus entirely on porn, but porn is absolutely the most powerful weapon in the carnal pride of life, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh. It is the most powerful thing.
Coach, I want to recommend one more thing for men that we've had this in our house for decades. My wife, we have covenant eyes. Now, I don't care whatever it is. In other words, and my wife is the only one, and my wife's all like, Dale, you want the best? I said, no, I don't want. It's the accountability. This is what Joseph, when Potiphar's wife tempted him, it wasn't that Joseph was struggling with it, is that he fled from it. So therefore, you put these barriers up. You get covenant eyes on all your devices, because that's where it's at, brother. It's at a touch of a finger. You used to have to drive down the street and go into a store. But it's at the touch of a finger, brother. Covenant eyes, you actually, somebody has the code, and they can see every site that you have been to on your electronical device. We have kept this in our house. We have this in our house, brother. And it's important for men to get this on their devices.
Okay, now listen. It is important, Dale. I'm with you. But I want to take that desire out of your heart. I want you to control it. I want you to be so strong in the spirit that you don't give in to that lust of the flesh. Every one of you know, when you get that urge to go turn on that computer, you know right then and right there, you could stop it. Right then and right there, you could say, I'm not going to do that. Now listen, it's not just porn. There's a lot of other issues that are involved here. I have a list. I'm not going to go through it. You got them on your list. You're going to have to make a conscious decision. Lord, give me victory over this carnal desire, this carnal nature. Give me victory over it, Lord. Help me walk through this, Lord. I don't want to do this, Lord. Help me. Come on in.
Well, let's even take this a little bit further, Coach, about lust of the flesh. We see, like Dale was talking about, is these electronic devices. And we got men and women looking at children. Other men in same-sex marriage. This is so great about lust of the flesh.
Okay, let me switch gears on you, Joe, because I don't want this all to be about porn and all that kind of stuff. How about this one, friends? How about some of you are buying stuff you don't need? You're so deep in debt because you can't get control of your desire to have stuff. And that's just as destructive to your marriage as pornography is. Can't sleep at night because you're worrying about debts that you have, and all of it being out of the fact that you've been feeding that carnal man. You guys, come on, man. Listen,
amen.
I talked about porn because porn is so prevalent, but your list is before you, and the question you have to ask yourself is, do you want to get victory over it? Do you want to or not? Because I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. Hey, folks, listen. Let's say we all believed in generational curses or generational sins passed down to the first or second, even down into the fourth generation. What if your propensity to buy stuff you don't need ends up in the life of your grandson? Is that what you want? You want to pass that on? A wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, huh? You want to leave your grandson the urge for debt, the urge to have all the stuff he wants to? You want to pass down to your grandson the propensity to want to sleep around with other women? You want to pass that to him? Is that what you want to do? Because if I understand it right, the scripture says that, again, sins of the father, it's in the blood. It's in the blood.
Hey, Coach,
what if what you're doing right now is going to end up in the life of your grandchild? Yes, sir. Go, Jack.
Paul talked about being content. If we were content, we wouldn't be looking at the other stuff. We wouldn't be buying the other stuff. We wouldn't be eating the other stuff. The contentment. I've been abounded. I've been abased. And I am content in all things.
Amen. Hang on here. I may have to do a part three on this one. Because I'm going to tell you, every sin you are dealing with, every sin at the heart of it is the pride of life. The desire to please yourself.
Boom.
It's at the heart of all of it. And the desire to please yourself leads you to the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh. Your desire, your insecurity, whatever it might be that you do. My dad, God rest his soul, my dad was a workaholic. Workaholic. He worked double shifts all the time. Why? He had five kids. My dad would get up in the morning, go to Kaiser Aluminum. I would never see him in the morning, and he would come home at midnight. And he did that over and over and over. And I'll never forget him saying that his obligation was to provide for his family. And he did. He did. And what happens? Wake up. I'm 25 years old. What am I doing? I'm running the same rat race. I'm watching football films late into the night because I'm providing for my family. Became a workaholic. And the things that my dad needed to deposit in me, he didn't deposit in me because he wasn't around.
Coach.
Yes, sir.
I would also say you will need a third show because we have talked about the physical aspects of removing sin and fasting and how it's beneficial. And we haven't even touched on the spiritual side yet.
Haven't even got to it yet, brother.
Hey, Coach.
I'm just talking about our carnal nature. Yeah, Dave.
You know, are you like reading through Residue right now?
No.
This is everything that we're doing, right? And it's even kind of like what I touched on in Pennsylvania. When you have men, there are some men that have turned to their strongholds or their vices, no matter what it is, right? From homosexuality to drugs to whatever it is. And a lot of it stems from having fathers that they consider good fathers. That's a good man. He's a good man. But the issue is that man didn't instill that intimacy. And that boy or that girl, you know, when the mother doesn't instill the intimacy for the girl, they start seeking that in other avenues, other ways. And so part of Residue is doing the moral, deep, humbling, and convicting inventory. You know, I filled up a three-subject notebook. And don't believe all the lies, that all you got to do is write it down and then ball it up, throw it in the fireplace, and poof, it's gone. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You have to speak them things. And then when you speak them things, you release the power they hold over you. But when you can speak them to, it's easy to speak them to God, because some of us think we're just talking to ourselves because we are our God. But one of the most important things is speaking them to other people. And once you release the power they hold over you, you release and you take that foothold the enemy has in your life. Boy. That's when you can say, no, I won't do it. No, I won't do it. That's when you can have the power.
That breaks the power of shame. The power of shame. See, shame is a healthy thing because it gives you the opportunity to come out of the darkness. Shame does. But you have to swallow your pride in order to be able to do it. So here's what I want you to do. We got 3 minutes left. I want you to get a little victory. I want you today to get a little victory that you can tell me about tomorrow in your spiritual discipline. I want you to write down on that tablet right now something you do regularly that you're not going to do till I see you tomorrow. Something you do every day. Hey, you know what it could be? It could be, I'm not getting on my cell phone. It could be, I'm not going to eat. It could be, I'm not going to throw anything. I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to beat my wife. I don't care what it is. Pick something that you regularly do, and for 24 hours, you aren't going to do it. And when you begin to realize that very real fact that your spirit man is far stronger than the carnal man, we're all on our way to victory. So you got your list. You know what it is. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to talk about anybody else for 24 hours, right? I'm not going to call so-and-so and talk about Jeff Nell said this morning. What did you think about what Jeff Nell's? I'm going to, for 24 hours, I am going to pick something, and I am not going to do it. And then tomorrow, some of you are going to come in here and testify and say, you know what? I never dreamed I could do it, Coach, but I did. And then what will begin to happen is all of a sudden all these little other little thorn trees are going to begin to pop up. And you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to whack that one down. I'm going to whack that one down. I'm going to clear some brush here. And then I'm going to go after that big tree in my life. Because if you put on your clothes and you walk outside your door and you say, I'm going to go cut down that big tree and saw that thing up and split it into firewood, chances are you ain't going to get that done. But if you said, I'm going to go out and pull out every dandelion in my driveway, at the end of the day, you're going to be able to say, you know, I did that. And that is where spiritual discipline begins. I hear somebody trying to get in.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Well, I believe in this 100%. But I'm going to say this, Coach. We can deny ourselves all day long, and we have to. That's part of it, creating a new thought pattern, a new mentality. But until God convicts us of this stuff and this sin, and our heart is, begins to change, it'll all be for naught.
Amen.
If you don't, if your heart is not turned and you see this sin as terrible, abominable, and so forth, you won't do this. So get on your face and get before God and say, show me how ugly this is and turn my heart, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit turn my heart. And then, God, we will deal with this thing. But, Coach, it starts in our heart. God Amen. Wants our heart. If he doesn't get our heart, it's about trying to fix it with the same programs the world's using. We need this, the spirit man.
Amen. Lord, show me how my sin, my besetting sin, is impacting the ones that I love. Help me to see that, Lord. 24 hours from now, I want to hear what you got victory over.
God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.